This is the Climate Report, episode 22. I'm Hart Hagen, your host, and we are originally recording on December 6th, 2018. The topic of today's show is corporate power, and we will be examining questions like, what is a corporation? Now, don't go to sleep. This is going to get good. What is a corporation? How did they come about? Do they serve our interests? What is the nature of corporate power? Why should we be so bold as to think it is right to drastically limit corporate power? What might we expect going forward if we try to limit corporate power? Now, let me share with you a little bit up front where I'm coming from, and then we will get into some news stories that tend to illustrate and elucidate what we're talking about. But what I want to share with you, I want to contrast my view with that of a libertarian. Now, libertarian in America means a person who might say that government governs best, that governs least, that government needs to just get out of the way and let business thrive, and government needs to get out of the way and stop all these burdensome regulations, and wherever possible, we need to privatize government services. So there are a lot of people who think that way. You hear a lot of that on the corporate media, but here's why I don't think that we need the least possible amount of government. The reason we don't need the least possible amount of government is that nature abhors a vacuum, and if government power subsides, then all that's left is corporate power. And regular people, including 99% of us, if not 100% of us, no longer have anything to protect us from corporate power. Here's why that is problematic. The reason why it's problematic to not have a government that can protect us from corporate power is that corporations control so much of our lives. They control so much of our social, our life as a society and our life as individuals. For example, corporations control the food we eat. I'm not saying they control every little thing we purchase, but I'm saying corporations grow food. They deliver food, they sell food, they decide what's in our food. Furthermore, corporations determine the quality of the air we breathe. Corporations determine the quality of the water we drink. Corporations determine whether we will or will not address problems that we have with wildlife. Corporations determine the nature of our transportation system, whether we're going to have mass transit or whether we're going to drive in cars. Corporations draft and international trade agreements, which are increasingly becoming part of our lives. Furthermore, corporations have bought our government, and we know that money in politics is a problem. We know that money in politics is a big thing. We know that the candidate that wins is quite often the candidate that spends the most money on a campaign. We know that media corporations, that is the cable news and the national newspapers, have a lot of sway over what candidates we end up liking. Furthermore, corporations produce entertainment, TV shows, movies, music, and our political ideas are shaped in no small measure by the entertainment that we consume. For example, the national religion, I think it's safe to say, is anti-communism or anti-socialism. Much of those views, the extreme and irrational fear of socialism and the extreme and irrational fear of communism, much of that has been shaped by movies, books, TV shows. One of these times I'm going to do an episode on the the fictional characters and the fictional stories that have shaped my own views, usually in a way that turned out to be not very rational. Corporations determine whether or not, you know, we are able to market to children. McDonald's Happy Meals or all the toys or video games. Corporations have a very, you know, invasive role in the lives of our children, and most parents would like to limit and regulate the role that corporations have in advertising directly to children. So what I'm saying is that corporations have a huge amount of power, and it requires government regulation to limit that power, especially in the environment. And the environment is not just about wildlife and ecosystems, as important as that is, but corporations are chemical companies. So let's look at all the different products that corporations make that are potentially dangerous. Corporations make cars that are potentially dangerous. Corporations build roads that are potentially dangerous and bridges. Corporations make toys that are potentially dangerous. Corporations make all sorts of chemicals, whether it's cleaning chemicals or chemicals used in gardening and farming, all of which are potentially dangerous. Corporations make clothes and carpets and furniture, all of which can be potentially dangerous. For example, the amount of chemicals that are used in, or rather the chemicals that are used in making furniture more fire retardant have turned out to be completely counterproductive because the chemicals themselves are relatively ineffective in retarding the flames, but they tend to be toxic. And yet, the chemical companies that make those chemicals are able to keep them in our furniture, notwithstanding the fact that it's pretty useless and even harmful. Another example, corporations grow our food, so that includes agribusiness. So antibiotics are put in cattle feed, primarily because that makes the cattle gain weight. But yet we are exposed to these antibiotics. And as a result, the bacteria become resistant to the antibiotics. Meanwhile, the government is not doing very much, very fast, to develop new antibiotics that are not resistant. I mean, the public overwhelmingly, when polled, when asked, the public overwhelmingly wants antibiotics to not be put in cattle feed, but you can't get that past the agribusiness lobby in Washington, D.C. So yet again, corporations have the power to expose us to dangers without our consent, without our permission. That's why it is ludicrous to say that the government governs best that governs least. It's also ludicrous to say that regulation is bad because it burdens business. Well, if you're in the business of selling something dangerous, selling something that's needlessly dangerous, then you shouldn't be in that business. The profits that you make in a business selling something that is needlessly dangerous, that's called ill-gotten gain. It's something that you have stolen from people and from society, and it shouldn't be yours. Now, this is common sense when you think about it, but yet we have an endless bombardment of regulation is bad, and we need to get the government off of our backs. So anyway, the point I started out to make is that corporate power needs to be limited, and that's something that we are entitled to do as citizens. And yet, we are very far from being able to have the control that we should have over corporate power. So let's look at some news stories, and let's see how those news stories what those news stories tell us about the influence of corporate power in our society. And just to give you a little preview, it's like, where are we going with this? We're 10 minutes into the episode. By the time we get to 29 minutes, we'll be all done. And by the time we get to 29 minutes, I'm going to say, you know, we need to seriously think about eliminating corporations. We need to nationalize banks so as to limit the power of commercial banks. We need to eliminate what's called the democratic deficit, which is the difference between public policy and public opinion. The reason there is a democratic deficit is that corporate power has too much sway so as to derail the policies that you and I as citizens would like to enact. Another recommendation is that we need Medicare for all. What does that have to do with corporate power? So Medicare for all is like, okay, Medicare currently is for people over 65. So if you are over 65, pretty much the government pays for all of your health care. So that's what we'll talk about, and that relates to limiting corporate power in the sense that some of the most powerful corporations are pharmaceutical companies and for-profit health insurance companies and for-profit healthcare providers, such as for-profit hospitals. And another specific recommendation is to stop privatizing everything in sight. Stop privatizing schools. Privatized schools are called charter schools. We need to stop doing that. Stop privatizing military services, etc. So we'll get to that. So those are some of my solutions and recommendations. No doubt the most shocking and controversial of which is eliminate corporations. But we have to ask ourselves, why do corporations exist? Who do they benefit? Are they really necessary? So we'll get to that, but let's look at these four stories. So these stories are all from the New York Times from December 5th of 2018. So first story, Trump touts strong signals from Xi as trade fears return. So that's talking about President Trump talking with the premier of China. And we're all worked up about NAFTA, and we're going to look at why we're all worked up about NAFTA. Similarly, global markets slide after a Wall Street sell-off spurred by Trump tweets. So we're going to look at why we're all worked up about a sell-off spurred by Trump tweets. The third of the four stories is, I don't know how to pronounce this, but Huawei. I'll say it's Huawei. So this is a telecommunications company in a Chinese telecommunications company, and the Canadians have arrested one of their officers to extradite her to the United States. Why? Because this company is sin of all sins, is violating our trade sanctions with Iran. The prevailing theme here is that corporations are controlling what we are concerned about, but we'll go on. Now, the fourth of the four stories is far and away the most important, and yet it's got one story. It's one story in the New York Times. It should be three dozen stories, maybe not every day, but there should be, you know, at least five or ten stories every day in the New York Times relating to climate change. There should be at least five or ten stories every day in the Wall Street Journal relating to climate change, because this is something, it's one of the four things that poses a serious threat to the existence of the human species. So the title of the story is Greenhouse Gas Emissions Accelerate Like a Speeding Freight Train. Greenhouse gas emissions accelerate like a speeding freight train. So let's talk about that one first. So we know that climate change is a grave issue and should be a matter of grave concern. And we know that climate change is tied to greenhouse gas emissions. The primary one is carbon dioxide, CO2, but there are others. For example, methane is a greenhouse gas that is a byproduct of the burning and even the extraction of fossil fuels, namely natural gas, but also oil. So what the story is saying is that they're, you know, basically over the course of time, greenhouse gas emissions have been on the rise, but then there was a three-year plateau, and then last year in 2017, there was another rise, like 1.5%. And then this year, we're looking at almost a 3% rise in greenhouse gases. This is insane. This is madness. And it's too bad you have to be offbeat to even draw attention to this. So what does this have to do with corporate power? Well, corporate power, a while ago I named, I don't know, a dozen or more things that corporations do, major things that they have control of or influence of in our lives. And one of the things corporations have control of in our lives is the news media, the mainstream media. So, name your newspaper. The New York Times is a big corporation, and it's owned by other big corporations. The Washington Post is a huge corporation owned by other huge corporations. In fact, Washington Post is owned by Amazon. So Amazon, because it owns the Washington Post, has a great deal of control over the content of what's in the Washington Post. NBC is owned by General Electric, a major defense contractor. So a major source of information is owned by a major defense contractor. How vigorously is NBC going to investigate General Electric? Not very vigorously. What else does this have to do with corporate power? Well, corporations, by their very existence, represent the power of people with money, let's call them capitalists, the power of capitalists to consolidate their resources vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis labor and vis-a-vis the consumer. So, especially starting with the Reagan administration, but it's a timeless theme in American politics and worldwide politics, how the interests of corporations are adverse to you, the employee, because they don't want to pay you. At least they would always rather pay you less. A corporation's primary loyalty is to their shareholders, and a corporation's primary duty is to make a profit and make as much profit as possible so as to preserve share value. And that is their function, that is their purpose, and that is their legal obligation. So given the opportunity, they would always rather not deal with unions. That's why NAFTA has been so damaging, because it allows corporations to pick up and move to Mexico or move elsewhere. And they can always pit one labor force against another. They can always go across the border to somebody that they can pay less. Some people don't think that's a problem. Some people think that's a free market. Don't even get me started about how it's not a free market because of the violence inherent in it. I mean, we all over Latin America, the United States supports governments that violently suppress labor. And in the United States, in the 20th century, hundreds of people died in violent put-downs of labor disputes. So it's not a free market, but even if you kind of see it as a free market, you have to ask the question, why is capital, that is corporations, but why are investors and capitalists allowed to endlessly consolidate their power, meanwhile labor is not allowed to consolidate its power? Labor should have protections that protect those who organize, and yet those protections are almost meaningless today in America, and don't even get me started about how the United States supports brutal, violent regimes in Latin America and elsewhere that brutally and violently put down labor or anybody who wants to organize for the good and the benefit of people. Just as one isolated example, Guatemala. Guatemala is a violent regime and has been ever since we, the United States, ousted their popularly elected leader, Jacobo Arbenz, in 1954. In the meantime, 200,000 people have died in a so-called civil war, with the United States supporting the wrong side of that civil war. Similarly, Mexico is a brutal and violent regime that puts down labor violently when they try to organize and collectively bargain with corporations, American or otherwise. Yet another way in which corporations have a huge amount of power over our lives. And how do they get that power? They get that power by contributing to the campaigns of our elected leaders, thus reducing, if not nullifying, the actual democracy that we have, with rare exceptions. I mean, there are people who get elected without bowing the knee to corporate power, one of whom, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congressperson elect from the Bronx and Queens in New York, got elected without corporate power, without corporate money. She was spent approximately 8-1. She had $400,000. Her opponent had nearly $4 million. So there's somebody who got elected without corporate power, but you can almost name them on one hand. There are very few who get elected without corporate power. Therefore, corporations own our government. The policies that our elected leaders vote on and pass through and enforce are policies that are in favor of corporations and corporate profits and corporate share value. That's why we need to work and to struggle for a time when corporations don't have anywhere near the power that they currently have. And one of the powers that they have is to set the agenda for the news. They can decide what the news reports on and what the news does not report on. They can decide what is important and what is not. We have three stories here that are about shareholders and their concerns, investors and their concerns, and only one story about greenhouse gas emissions accelerate like a speeding freight train. Now, here's another example of how they're setting the agenda for the news. This third of the four stories I'm talking about is this official from a Chinese corporation who's arrested in Canada for extradition to the United States. The reason she was arrested is because her company is violating United States trade sanctions with Iran. Why do we have trade sanctions on Iran? Not because they're bad people. You know, I'm not saying the Iranian leaders are good people. But the trade sanctions don't exist because the Iranian leaders are bad people. We support bad people all over the world every day. But Iran has trade sanctions for the same reason that we have trade sanctions on Cuba and Venezuela and Nicaragua, because here are a few countries in the entire world that dare to be independent from the United States. The United States does not tolerate independence. And that's why we have trade sanctions on Iran. And that's why we have trade sanctions on Cuba. So instead of tolerating, instead of working toward meaningful solutions to climate change, our government is obsessively focused on trying to use economic sanctions to take sovereign nations and make them subservient to the will of the United States. So how does that relate to corporate power? It's because that's the purpose and function of the federal government on the world stage, is to serve the needs and the interests of corporations. Corporations are mad because they cannot sell to Iran. Corporations are mad because Iran is not selling its oil for dollars. Corporations are mad because Cuba won't give American corporations access to Cuba. That's why we have choked off the island in brutal trade sanctions for 60 years in a way that none of the world wants us to do. World opinion is virtually unanimous in saying that our trade sanctions against Iran and our trade sanctions against Cuba and Venezuela and Nicaragua are immoral, unethical, illegal, and should be stopped. But we don't submit to world opinion because we're the biggest, the baddest, the strongest, and the meanest. And besides, our very wealthy corporations have their priorities. And the priority of our federal government is the priority of those corporations. Yet another reason why corporate power needs to be limited. So now, one or two solutions and recommendations. The first recommendation will never actually be enacted. It sounds too extreme. It will never be enacted, but it's like eliminate corporations. If we don't actually eliminate corporations, we need to at least ask, why do we have corporations? What benefit do they serve? Corporations were originally invented because that's the only way you can get people to invest in a venture, is to protect them from liability. Like if the venture goes bankrupt, then the individual shareholders do not owe anything beyond what they've already invested. As opposed to a partnership where if the venture goes bankrupt, then you can lose your house. So some people will say you can't eliminate corporations because people would never invest. Well, maybe. Another solution for limiting the power of corporations. Instead of bailing out the banks, nationalize them. In 2008, 2009, when the banks went under because they made stupid investments, our government, our taxpayers, bailed them out. With the money that we used to bail out the banks, we could have established a national bank in every state and let that publicly owned national bank serve the needs and interests of the public instead of serving the greed and the really damaging practices of the major banks, which speculate on everything from corn and wheat and rice, all kinds of foods. They drive up the price of foods, and they own fossil fuel companies, they own oil fields, and all along they pay our elected officials amounts of money that makes our elected officials want to do anything they say. If we want to save our planet, if we want to save our democracy, we must limit the power of corporations. That's all we have time for. Thank you for joining me. Join me next time.